you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Well, who was here this morning? The church? How many were here this morning? What a feast we had this morning. It was incredible. And just loved the message this morning, Nick. It was a blessing to be here and hear that. Oh, my communion was amazing as well. Is Steph here? She's not here tonight. No, it was amazing. But just a bit of a reflection on Jesus is perfect. And I did take some notes, Nick. That's amazing that I took some notes. But just about Jesus being perfect, just a reflection. If you weren't here this morning, get the podcast. It's a really great message. But he was perfect in his ways. He's perfect in his power. His power is made perfect in our weakness. He's perfect. His love is perfect. And he perfects our faith. And it was just a fantastic message. Especially loved the stuff about Nick's perfectionism. That was very amusing. Like the fact that I'd like to go around to your place and see the food on the wall and everything like that. It's there. It's still there, is it? You didn't clean it this afternoon? Get Aaron to clean it. What's he doing? Yeah. Awesome. Okay, let me just start with a scripture and we will pray. Matthew 3:13-17, if we can put that up. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." And then he allowed him to baptize him. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I just thank you for the amazing truth that is your word. And Father, I pray that we would more than get a glimpse, but get a greater understanding of your plan for our life and your desire and the way we should live it out. And so, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title for my message tonight and the Jesus is, as we continue following this morning, Jesus is perfect. It stole half my message this morning, Nick. Well done. So is Jesus is our righteousness. And it is one of my favourite subjects, but it is one of the most powerful things in your life, if you can get it right. I know I battled with this thing for years and struggled with it. I'm still working through it and getting understanding, but I have a greater understanding now than I ever had on this. Jesus is our righteousness. And I hope tonight you can get an understanding, get a revelation of Jesus being our righteousness. So as we see that scripture here, and Jesus says, "Permit it be so now, for thus is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? Did he just come for the forgiveness of sins, so that we could just have a place in heaven? Is that why he came? See, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He loved the world so much. And then we see Jesus here saying, "Let it be so to fulfill all righteousness." Surely it's got to be more than just the forgiveness of sins and getting a ticket to heaven. Surely, if it was that case, we could all wait till we're 99 or 100, get saved at the last minute, and then go to heaven. Some people do that. But surely there's more to it than that. In Ephesians 1:3-6, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." So if that means he's blessed us, in the heavenly places in Christ, that doesn't just mean, you know, because we're not, you know, we're on a time continuum. God is eternal. So for us, the every spiritual blessing is now. It is now. It is a reality now. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption. That word adoption is just so powerful. So we are adopted by God as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, as in God wanted to do it. God the Father, God wanted to do it. He wanted to adopt us because it's for his pleasure and will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he, and I underline this, made us accepted in the beloved. So God made us accepted in the beloved. So we see back in Matthew, Jesus says, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So what did Jesus mean by to fulfill all righteousness? Well, what is righteousness? If we can put that up there, let's have a look at that. What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is right standing. It says acceptable to God and in relationship with him. So it's not just acceptable to God, but it's acceptable to God and in relationship with him. And the second thing we see is righteousness and justification are very similar words in the old, in the Greek and the Hebrew. They're very similar words. And so justified, very similar, just as if I'd never sinned. Now it says no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. When you accept Christ as your Saviour, he says no guilt, no shame, no condemnation. None of those three. Just as if you had never sinned. So what is righteousness? Right standing with God, acceptable to God in relationship with him. So there's only two ways we can be. Let's get the reality of this. Let's not sit on the fence and half. You're either righteous or you're unrighteous. There's not a third spot. You're righteous or you're unrighteous. So where do you sit? Are you righteous? Because if you're not righteous, you're unrighteous. So how do we become righteous? Well, firstly, it's not by observing the law. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not ignore or nullify the gracious gift of grace of God, his amazing unmerited favour, for it is righteousness. For if righteousness comes through observing the law, then Christ died needlessly. He died for nothing, if that's how righteousness came. His suffering and death would have had no purpose whatsoever. Let me mess with you just a little bit here. So we look at that scripture, living a righteous life does not make you righteous. So the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's a pretty horrible term. So living a righteous life in what we think's righteous, and we heard Nick talk about the questions that Jesus asked the man this morning and how he thought he was pretty righteous. But living a righteous life does not make you righteous. But listen to this, righteousness, true righteousness will produce a righteous lifestyle. So let's have a look. How do we become righteous? I love this scripture, Romans 5, 17 to 19. Now in the lead up to this, if you see kind of, if you have a look at the scripture before you read it, if you see at the end of verse 17, there's a bracket. And I re-looked at it and I looked at the bracket and I thought, hang on a minute, where, you know, I'm taking part of a bracket right out. Well, the bracket starts in about verse 12. And I thought that's too much to put on there. But it basically talks about Adam and his sin and what took place with his sin. So let's read it. Romans 5, 17 to 19 says, "For if by one man's offence death reigned through the one," so this is Adam, "much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness," it's a gift of righteousness, can't be earned, "will reign in life through the one in Jesus Christ." And 18, "Therefore, as through one man's offence," which is Adam, so in the garden, we know, we understand what happened with Adam. If you don't know, read Genesis. But Eve took the apple and they both listened to the serpent and there was separation from God. "Therefore, as through one man's offence, judgment came to all men." So without Christ, and this is harsh, this seems harsh, but without Christ, the offence, the judgment came to all men, came to me. Without Christ, I have that offence and the judgment came to me. I didn't eat of the apple. That wasn't me. That was Adam and Eve did that. But I'm stuck with it. And that's the reality of it. Nothing I did, even though I have done wrong, nothing I did caused me to eat the apple, because that was a long time ago and a very long time ago. And I'm not that old. So therefore, through as one man's offence, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, this is Christ, one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. That word justification again. Justification of life. "For as by one man's disobedience," Adam, "many were made sinners." Repeat after me, made. Made. Made sinners. "So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous," made righteous, not by anything they've done, not by their works, not by their good deeds, not because they're a good person, but they were made righteous through what Christ has done. And it's a free gift. If we can accept that we are sinners because of Adam, we must accept that the only way we are made truly righteous is through Jesus. I don't care how you feel, I don't care what you think, but the Word of God that I read says the only way, there's two ways you can be made righteous. You can live a perfect life, absolutely perfect, without blemish. That means you obey 10 commandments and 613 laws and you can't miss one. Anyone done that? Some of you are probably sitting there, well, close, I only missed a couple. Well, even if you missed one, you missed it. Sin is missing the mark. You missed the mark. But you know what? Jesus didn't miss any. And at that point where he says, where John comes and says to him, "I need to baptize you," and he says, "Let it be so that we can fulfill all righteousness." At that point in his life, that was just before he was going to move into his ministry time, just before he was going to go into the temptation in the desert. And at 30 years of age, he lived perfectly, obeying every law and every commandment, perfectly. And if he didn't do that, then we can't be made righteous. But because he did, it's so much more. It is so much more than just the forgiveness of sins and get a ticket to heaven. We are made righteous. We have right standing with God because of what he's done. So who is righteous? Everyone who believes is righteous. Romans 1:16-17. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. So everyone. It's not just Jews, it's everyone. For in the gospel, the righteousness, the right standing of God, the gospel, the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What is faith? Faith is believing that what Christ has done is enough. You can't do any more. You can't do any less. It's because what Christ has done is enough. So everyone who believes is righteous. And if you are a Christian here, if you're a Christian here, it's time to start believing you're righteous. It's time to start believing it. Because if you believe you're righteous, you'll begin to live a righteous lifestyle more so. If you don't believe you're righteous, Satan's got a hold on you. And you'll start playing games. And you'll go in and out of condemnation and guilt and fear. It's time to start believing what the Word of God says about you. Many people who are Christians don't believe that they are righteous. Next question, why is righteousness so important? See, we only get half the message of God when we don't understand that Jesus is our righteousness. Like I said, it's not just forgiveness of sins. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a whole life thing. As I was preparing my message on Friday, actually it was on Thursday, I was preparing my message, God gave me a picture, and I don't know whether it's for some people here or a lot of people here. But the picture I got when we read that scripture before about being adopted, the picture I got was a picture of God the Father and God the Son in the one room. And the picture I got was of someone who had been saved, and they saw Jesus. And everywhere that Jesus went, they hid behind Jesus so the Father couldn't see them. Because they believed that Jesus was sent and saved us from God, but not for God. And so, as Nick so brilliantly shared this morning of how Jesus and the Father are on the same page, you can't believe in Jesus and be afraid of the Father through what you've seen in imperfection in this world. Jesus and the Father are one. The Bible says that God in Christ came. God in Christ. Jesus came that you would have relationship with the Father. A relationship with God. That is what righteousness is. Jesus does not protect you from God. He saved you into the kingdom. So if you've been thinking that lucky that Jesus is there because God's wrath will get me, guess what? That's not the truth. That is not the truth. And you will not be able to hear things from God if you believe that Jesus is on a different plane to what God is. That was the picture that God gave me. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21. Another fantastic, amazing scripture, one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. That is that God was in Christ. There it is. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. He was in Christ. So God sent Christ, and he was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, the wrong things they've done, not holding them against him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin. So like I said, the 613 laws, the Ten Commandments, he knew no sin, none whatsoever. He knew no sin to be sin for us. So he took our sin. He knew no sin. He's the perfect sacrifice that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God. Jesus is our righteousness. The New Living Translation finishes that where it says, become the righteousness of God. It says, we are made right with God. It's not just about going to heaven. Jesus lived perfectly, obeyed all the laws and commandments, so he died perfectly. He did what was just and right. He lived a righteous life. No one else did. He lived in relationship with his Father. And we have a look in Matthew 3, that first scripture that I talked about, where Jesus said, it's for righteousness' sake. In verse 17, it says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven. So after he was baptized, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased. That was what it was to fulfill all righteousness, so that we can live the same way that Jesus lived with his Father. We can live the same way. Ephesians, it says, we're adopted to be accepted into the beloved. Once we understand these things, we can understand that when we are righteous, we can live with the same relationship that Jesus had with the Father. We can walk in the same power. We can live with the same effectiveness. But if we don't see God as on the same page as Jesus, and God is the one who drew us to himself through Christ, we're not going to know that we're beloved. We're not going to know that God's loved us and wants us to live it out. It's more than just that. The time that we share at church, I prayed this morning, is more than just, this is more than a good idea. We've got the answer inside of us to a world out there that is so broken and so hurting and so looking for answers elsewhere, and we've got the answer inside us. And if we cave in and do what the world are doing, there goes our light. We just blend in. But if we live righteous lives because of what Christ has done, but we've got to know what we have. We've got to get an understanding of what we have. If we don't get this inside of us, if Jesus is our righteousness, this is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. If we don't get this inside of us, how are we going to know it? How are we going to know it? It's not just words on a page. We heard an incredible thing from Steph this morning about communion, where she shared about he prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. And she talked about how it was a scriptural verse, but it was in there, and then it became a revelation knowledge, more than just words on a page. And she got understanding. We got to know this to know what God says about us and what we can do. Not because we have to do to be approved. It's who we are that matters. And out of that, we live out and people then see Jesus in us. So here's four things about righteousness, just quickly to tie off. Righteousness goes beyond, number one, our culture. Because our relationship with God is more important. It's about a relationship. It's about a living relationship every day. So what do I mean by this? Our relationship with God, because of the righteousness we have in Christ, speaks to our conscience. And so when culture begins to tell you the way you've got to live, the righteousness of God overplays it and says, no, my relationship with you is more important than you giving in to those things because someone else told you that's the way it should be. Once again, if we blend in with the culture, the light goes out. If Jesus is the answer and he's our righteousness, it will go above culture. The second thing is righteousness goes beyond our feelings. Because our relationship with God points us to the truth. Once again, can't come away from it. If you don't get this in you, you're not going to know what the truth is. And so when our feelings begin to tell us how things work, you know, someone said to me once that our feelings are real, but are they true? Are they actually true? Are they truth? Feelings can get us into a lot of trouble. But once again, when we understand that we're righteous and we have relationship with God, that it's not about rules and regulation, that he has died so we can have relationship with him, truth will stand above our feelings. The third thing, the righteousness goes beyond our fear of man because we're accepted by God. We don't need to fear what people think of us because God accepted us. The fourth thing, righteousness goes beyond our past. We're a new creation and don't need to fear him because he loves us and he was in Christ. Remember that scripture? He was in Christ, drawing us to himself. So righteousness goes beyond our culture, our feelings, other people, or the fear of man and our past. We need to understand that we're righteous. Because if we don't understand that we're righteous, then we live out in a way that we're unrighteous. And the enemy has a field day with us. I just want to finish with a story. And this is what righteousness is about. Righteousness is about giving everything to God. Some of you may have heard this story, but it's kind of a bit of a parable. And it goes like this. There was a man and he had a big house. And in that room, in that house, he had about 10 rooms. He was a wealthy man. And one day, Jesus came and knocked on the door of his house. And he opened the door, he said, "Oh, Jesus, very nice to meet you. I want you to come into my house and I'll give you the master bedroom. I'll give you the master bedroom. Look, come and have a look at this." So he takes him upstairs and shows him this amazing bedroom. And so Jesus goes into the master. He says, "Thanks very much. Thanks for letting me into your house." Anyway, that was in the afternoon, and later that evening another knock came on the door. And it was the devil. And he kind of just tried to push his way in the door. As he opened the door, it was a different knock to the one that Jesus gave. And he just opened the door. And when he opened the door, the devil pushed his way in. And they had a horrible fight. They had a terrible fight. And the man was beaten and beaten and beaten. Devil turned around and left. And the man was so disappointed. And he walked upstairs to the master bedroom. And he said to Jesus, "Jesus, where were you? Didn't you see what happened? Didn't you see what was going on?" And Jesus said, "Sorry, sir, no, I didn't. I was in the master bedroom." So another day goes by, and the man goes to Jesus and says, "I don't want that to happen again. Maybe what I'll do is I'll give you the top story of the house. You can have all the rooms in the top story. There's 4 or 5 bedrooms." Jesus says, "Thank you very much. Thank you for giving me those rooms." So that night another knock comes on the door, and he thought, that's a strange knock, and the door opened. In comes the devil again, and he beat the man. Beat him terribly. They had a horrible fight, and he was really having his way with him. Same thing happened again. The man was just so disappointed. So disappointed. And so what he did, he said to Jesus, "What's going on? Didn't you hear what was happening downstairs?" And he said, "Well, I was upstairs. You gave me the upstairs, and that's what you gave me to see in your life." And the man said, "Well, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you 9 rooms out of the 10 rooms of the house. I'll give you 9 out of the 10 rooms." And Jesus says, "Thank you. That's a great thing to do." Same thing happened that night. The next night, a knock came on the door. Satan burst through the door. And he beats the man more than he beat him the last time. And the man was just so disappointed. He thought, "Jesus is in my life. What is going on?" And so he goes to Jesus and he said, "I gave you nearly all my house." And Jesus said, "I'm sorry, sir, but it was in another room." And the man said, "Well, you know what? Why don't you have the keys to my house? Why don't you have everything?" The next night, a knock comes on the door, same as before. Jesus goes and answers the door. And the door opens. And Satan sees who's at the door. And he was like, "I didn't realise that this was your house, Jesus." And he said, "Well, it is my house. I have the rights to this house." And Satan said, "Well, sorry, I just didn't realise." And he turned around and he walked away. It's kind of like what righteousness is. Jesus wants our whole life. He died for everything. All our sin. He wants relationship with us. Why would we give Satan an inch when we can give God everything? I want everyone to stand to their feet, please. Jesus wants our absolute relationship. Righteousness goes beyond culture. How are you culturally living now that is not what the Word of God says? Who are you fearing right now that you don't need to because you're approved by God? What of the past are you believing God hasn't dealt with because He has? And what feelings are you allowing to dictate you and allowing Satan to have a field day? It's time to give Jesus the keys to your house. We don't need any music. I know God's speaking to people now. This is a time to make some decisions. Because Jesus is our righteousness. Some of you younger guys here, I need you to get this. You can save yourself a lot of pain in life if you can get this. I believe the Spirit of God is just going to rest on a few people right now as we pray. In your mind and in your heart, you start to give God those other rooms and let His righteousness be the ruler in your life. Not what you want, not what you think's right, but the relationship with God that He wants with you. Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the power of Your Word. I thank You that You died not only for all our sin, and that we would have a place in heaven, but we can live a life now that sends fear into the heart of demons. And we don't have to be stepping backwards. We can be stepping forwards. We're listening to You in relationship with You. And when we miss the mark, we go to You and say, God, I give it straight to You. I'm not going to hang on to this. So, Lord, let Your Spirit just rest on people right now. Father, I pray that there are changes taking place in lives. I pray that there are decisions being made that will outwork beyond tonight into the years and months. I pray that they will be generational decisions. You are our righteousness. You are everything to us. Lord, I thank You for what You've done here tonight and for what You're going to do in the coming days and weeks and months. And I pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.